Amen.
All their hard work during the week pays off on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to look at the Gospel of Matthew this morning.
All right.
The Gospel of Matthew. We're going to begin a series of sermons on the parables that Jesus taught.
All right.
We're going to talk about the parables of the New Testament. We're going to go into the Old Testament and look at some parables. And we're going to spend the next several weeks learning about what Jesus meant when he talked to people by parables. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20. And this is one of the salvation parables. So when you look at it and read it, you ought to pick up the theme of salvation within it. Mm-hmm. Let's stand and read Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16 reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire labor into his vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." Excuse me. "And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you.
Mm-hmm.
And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive.
Mm-hmm.
So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when he had received it, and when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen.
Amen.
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 Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Father God. Thank you for not only calling us, but choosing us. Thank you, Father God, for not having a seniority roster in heaven.
Amen.
Thank you, Father God, for not being like men who are prejudiced and show favoritism. Thank you, Lord, for being a God good God, a righteous God, a merciful God, and a God of grace. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't God good?
Yes, He is.
He's a good God.
Yes.
He's a righteous God.
Yes.
He's a holy God. He's a faithful God. All that. And more.
Yes.
And more. We have parables, and we're going to talk about the parables. Probably, I don't know how long we're going to go. We can go a long time talking about the parables. But the parables challenge us. Okay, the Bible is full of great theology, and we can talk about things of God. We talk about the seven churches. We preach on all the miracles of God. But the parables do something else to us. They confront us. They confront us because God taught the parables to compel us to see ourselves. And when you read the parables, when you study the parables, as we will, you're going to see yourself on one side of the parable or the other. You're going to either be the prodigal son or the elder brother. You're either going to be the good Samaritan or you're going to be the one that walked by. You're either going to be Lazarus in hell or Lazarus in heaven or the rich man in hell. Confrontational. You're either going to have on the right wedding garment or the wrong wedding garment. You're going to be a type of soil. You're either going to be hard pan, stony ground, thorny, or good soil. Today you're going to be something too. As we look at this parable, you're either going to have a contract in your hand where you've made a deal with God, or you're going to be God's grace. You're going to be a picture of God's grace and His mercy. And I hope all of us are a picture of His grace and His mercy. Because we haven't done anything to earn salvation. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. We're going to break this parable down in four parts. 1-7. You look at 1-7, you see the gathering of laborers. You see the household of which is our Lord and Savior. He's the Lord of the harvest. That's what Matthew 9:37-38. Let me read it real quick so we can get this straight. We don't want to think anybody else is the Lord of the harvest. I know there's just some folk out there that believe man can be the Lord of the harvest. And we know what these farmers do without rain. Look at Matthew 9:37-38. It says, "And he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." So the harvest is the world. How many know the harvest is truly plentiful right now?
Amen.
It's really, really plentiful right now. And back in these days, when you had a good harvest, because of the inclement weather, and it can get really hot and stay hot for a long time, you could lose your harvest overnight.
Amen.
I remember listening to the farmers in Florida complaining because they made laws. They were sending all the illegal aliens back over, and they had no one to work the fields, and they had a great tomato crop, and the tomatoes was actually just rotten on the vine because there was no laborers in the field. And we see our young people, because the church, we talked about this morning in Sunday school, because the church is not sending out laborers. Our young people are rotten.
Yes, yes.
They're rotten. And we're burying them every day. Every day. Because we're not sending out laborers into the school system. Our young people don't want to be identified as men of God and women of God. And they watch their classmates just rot. When we're supposed to be the salt of the world, we're supposed to be the light of the earth, our young people don't want to be called Christians, children of God. But we see the gathering of the laborers in 1-7. Then in 8-10, we see the payment. We see the payment of the workers, and that ought to be interesting. And then in 11 and 12, we see the grace of God mocked by what I call the union workers. They worked out a contract. And then when they got their contract, they didn't like it.
Yes.
They didn't like it. And then in verse 13 through 16, we see what I call the outrageous grace of God. Mm-hmm. The outrageous grace of God versus man's works righteousness. And that's the title of this sermon, God's Outrageous Grace. Aren't we glad that His grace is outrageous? If it wasn't outrageous, many of us wouldn't be saved. Amen. Matthew 20, look at it. For the kingdom of heaven, kingdom living, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And right away, that ought to jump out at you. That this is God's work. God going out seeking laborers for his field. The laborers weren't out looking for God. God was coming to them. Just like God came to us. If you're saved here, God came to you. God wasn't lost. We was lost. Okay? Some folks say, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. God found you. God found you. And he went out early in the morning.
Yes, sir.
So we've been hearing the word of God all our lives. Some of you young folks in here, you've been hearing it since you was a little toddler. Some of us in here, oh, we've been hearing the word of God a long time.
Yeah.
And some of us heard the word of God a real long time before we answered the call.
Yeah.
Some of us was brought up in church, sang in a choir, Awana programs, we did it all.
Mm-hmm.
But we still live like fools.
Amen.
And we still did what we wanted to do.
Yes, amen.
Until God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Right.
See, some folks say, I've been saved since I was a little kid. No, you haven't. You've heard the word of God. You've been in church all your life. But the moment it becomes real to you, when it causes a change in the way you live, and a change in the way you behave and carry yourself, it causes you to repent, a 180, not a 360, that's when God called you.
Amen.
Up until that time, you were just hearing voices. And I can say the same for this preacher. I can say I've been saved since certain sets of date and lived like a fool up until God really shook me. Ephesians said he quickened you.
Yes.
When you was dead in your trespasses and sins.
Yes.
Amen.
And man cannot wake up a dead man.
All right.
Amen.
Only God can wake up somebody that's dead. Dead person can't hear nothing, can't smell nothing, can't feel nothing. And many of us have been to a bunch of funerals.
Yes.
And you can shake, you can bring dancers to the funeral, and that brother is going to stay in that casket.
Yeah.
And if God said we was dead in our trespasses and sin, that was we was in a position where we could not hear nothing, see nothing, taste nothing, feel nothing. We wasn't thinking about nothing but being dead. And God had to quicken us. So he's calling the laborers.
Mm-hmm.
He's gathering the laborers. He's got a great harvest. He's got a great harvest. And he needs workers. And he needs workers immediately. He's looking for these workers. He is desperate because he knows he has a great harvest.
Amen.
I remember when General Motors first opened in I believe 1966. And they needed people. And they were hiring folks everywhere. I remember hearing the story. They were hiring folks just walking out of jail, just walking out of prison. Yeah. They were going all the way to West Virginia and hiring folks because they needed folks right now because the cars were selling. And they were starting up another line and they wasn't no background checks. You hire. And this is a picture of what's happening here. He's got a great harvest and he needs laborers into his vineyard. In verse number 2, we see the gathering of laborers, and the first group of folks he meets is the goody two-shoes. The folks that think God needs them. Hey, y'all miss some folks like that? God, you know, the church would shut down if something happened to me. I done heard stories. Folks just leave there. If I leave, it's going to fall apart. Here's this first group of people. The first group that he called is a labor union. And he went to them, and it says, and they, when he had agreed with them, so he had to spend valuable time.
Yeah.
Here's a desperate man spending valuable time working out a labor contract with these guys. We talking about a just man.
Yeah.
We talking about a good God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any of you to go to heaven with a labor contract in your hand.
Right.
Saying, God, this is what I've done. Because when you get to heaven, it's not going to matter what you've done. Okay? It's not going to matter what you've done. But they got to work out this contract. Here they are working out a contract. And he said, and when he had agreed with them, this has to be like the NFL contract. They're working this thing out. And he's working with these guys because he needs them, and he agrees with the laborers for a penny a day. A penny a day. And that, in those days, that was a full day's wage.
Amen.
A denarius, a full day's wage. Okay? Now, understand that. Understand this. They probably got double what they deserved. And hold that in the back of your head, because these were idle temporary workers standing at the marketplace. So they didn't have regular jobs. These were temps. Okay? Alright, y'all with me? These were temporary workers. So they didn't have a regular employment. They was looking for work, and now they get it, and what do? Now they're going to negotiate with the man that's trying to give them the job. Unheard of. So they agreed for a penny a day. That was the wage of a Roman soldier in that day. So they was getting top dollar. Top dollar.
Amen.
And he sends them into the vineyard after working with these people. Oh, we're gonna find out they got shortchanged. You can't bargain with God. How many know that? How many know you can't sit down and negotiate with God? Oh, some of us have tried, haven't we? He laying up in the hospital bed, oh God, you get me out of here, I'm gonna serve you until I die. I'll never get back on a motorcycle, God. His hands all up in the air, legs all up. They get out of the hospital. Right back out there. I remember my family, we was going to North Carolina. We standing in a circle. We doing traveling mercies. You know, cities where we all standing together. We doing traveling mercies. God, give us a seventh trip. Test us all the way to Florida and all the way back. We had a caravan of folks going. And get out of the circle. As soon as they get on the highway, boom! 90 miles an hour, all the way to Florida. All right. And I called him. I said, "Them traveling mercies are only good to for the speed limit now." Ain't nothing like speeding Christians with a fish on the back of their car. So the first group had a contract. But they didn't have enough workers. He didn't have enough workers. He had a great crop. So look again. We still in this first point. Hired the gathering of the laborers. And when he went out again, about the third hour. Now remember, the Jewish day started at 6 a.m. And it was a 12-hour work day. Okay? 12-hour work day. So it started at 6 and it ended at 6. So at 9 o'clock, which would have been the third hour, this man said, well, these guys in this labor union got a contract. And you know how it is. When we get a contract, we don't work as hard. Amen. You go to a non-union plant, they work hard. In the union, they call a steward. I don't want to talk. I ain't working no more. I worked 22 years on that assembly line, so I know. You know, I need a break. Pull that string, I'm gone. Whole line stop.
Yeah.
I got a contract, but I got a union. I got to call Ali over here. Okay? So the contract workers weren't doing a job. Or at least they didn't have enough. So he went out on the third hour, which would have been 9 o'clock. Okay? And he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Now don't get this word idle mixed up. This doesn't mean they was lazy or they was shiftless or whatever. They was where they were supposed to be to find a job. And they was standing. They went at home, laying on the couch, watching soap operas, hoping somebody call me for a job. Or sleeping at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I tell folks, you know, there ain't a whole lot of folks taking applications at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You need to get out there early. So they were standing in the marketplace at 9 o'clock. And listen to what he says. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way.
All right. Amen.
Y'all didn't miss that. Yeah. They ain't had to negotiate nothing. They understood that this was a good man. And back in those days, if you owned the vineyards and a lot of land, you had a reputation of being fair. And a lot of times, what may have happened with the first group, they knew this man was fair, so they was trying, probably knowing he was in a desperate condition because he had a great crop, they was trying to work him.
Yeah.
Well, you need us, because if you don't, your crop is going to fail. So they probably pushed him and worked him and got more out of him than they thought they could have. But here's the second group, knowing that he's a good, just man, and they just went.
Mm-hmm.
They just went. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 4. And verse number 5, excuse me. And he went out about the sixth hour. Again, he went out about the sixth hour. That would have been what time? 12 noon. High noon. It's hot now. Contract workers out, they got hot, they on their lunch break, probably 2.5 hour one. They have a contract, because he got to pay it, see?
Yes.
So now he's got to go out again at 12 noon, because now it's getting hot. He's probably getting like, I'm going to lose my grapes. Okay? So he hires another group. He hires another group at 6, at 12 o'clock, and then the ninth hour, which would have been 3 o'clock. So now he's hiring another group and did likewise. What does he mean, do likewise? He was fair. He was fair. He said, go ahead and get what you want. Go out there and work as hard as you can. I'm going to pay you what is fair. How many know God is fair?
Amen.
God is fair. Look at verse number 6. In about the 11th hour. 5 o'clock. 1 hour left in the shift. He went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand you here all the day idle?
All right.
Now, Tozer talks about the four seasons of life. Okay? And we've talked about it on Wednesday night. Some of y'all, we've been here, we talk about, we have the spring of your life. That's young, you know, that's Jill and Ray and young Jeremy, and the spring of their lives. Young and vibrant, energetic. Okay?
Yeah.
And then you have the summer of life. And that would be, Matthew and some of us, you know. And you know, some of us want to push the summer. Some of us really want to push the summer. Okay? It's just human nature. We want to stay beautiful, you know? And, you know, in this way, you see so many women dressing like Beyonce. And, you know? Okay? So we're pushing it. We want to stay in the summer. Because summer is a beautiful time. Everything's beautiful. And then you get to the fall. Okay? Things start falling. Things start falling and turning colors and, you know, and then you go to the hairdresser and you got to get that gray and you got to get touch up and, you know, some of the brothers get the just for man and... you know? Some of the women need better brassieres and stuff, you know? Because things is the fall. It's just the truth. Okay? And the dentists make good money because Things start falling. Okay, you go into Genesis a little more because, you know, the sheep is getting a little loose and... Amen? So the fall would be in the 6th to 9th hour in the, you know, and then at 12 o'clock, that would be the hottest of the day. That would be the summer. And then the spring would be the early ones. And then you had the 11th hour. Oh, that's the winter of your life. You know, now things are getting real difficult. Now, can't do all the things you used to do.
Amen.
You know, you got to call your son to come over and trim up everything and blow up everything and shovel the snow. But you used to be able to do all that.
Yeah.
It got winter. But God is still calling folks even in the 11th hour.
Yeah.
God is good.
Yes.
He's calling these folks out in the 11th hour. And these were the downtrodden. They might have been the maimed. They might have been injured. They might have had a bad arm or something. And nobody, everybody passing over them.
Right.
Yeah. But here's how gracious God is. He's calling them, even in their advanced age or in their condition. They may have been lame and wounded or injured. Back then they didn't have medicine like that. So you could be young and lame or recover from the palsy, but you still need to eat.
Yes.
You still need to eat. So we see verses 1-7, you see him calling them. Look at verse number 7. And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. It's hard to get a job, you know, when you start getting older.
Yes.
Okay, some of us experience that. Some of us, it's hard to even get promoted once you become a certain age. And you can be a great worker, quality worker, have all the credentials necessary, but you know what? Folks just look over you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't hire you, you're going to get sick. Oh, I don't want to promote you, got these young bloods, you know. And they say unto him, here's why they didn't get hired, because no man have hired us. And he say unto them, go also you into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. How about that?
Yes.
How about that? How about that? God may call you in the 11th hour.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just to save one soul.
Yeah.
Just to lead one soul to Christ.
Yeah.
Just to tell someone that God has called me when I have lived like a heathen all my life. God called me in the 11th hour. God called me late. God will call some of us late. But guess what? You in. You in. Means nothing. You may be sitting in a higher place than Billy Graham, who served all his life. So let's move to the second one. Let's talk about the payments. Let's talk about the payments. God is good. So when evening was come. When evening was come. This is getting dark now. Work is over. You haven't done all the work you can do. This is a picture of you leaving here. This time of payday, it's over now. Okay? Well, God said, I must do the work while it's day. Because the night comes when no man can work. So here's the evening, here's the picture, this is it, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's payday.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
It's payday. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward. The word.
Amen.
The steward of the labor. He had somebody assigned to the labor. He said, call them and give them their hire, beginning from the first. From the last unto the first. Now, in the Jewish tradition in Leviticus 19 and 13, it was a law that you had to pay a worker the same day he worked. Not like us. You get paid, you got to work 2 weeks in the hole, and then you get paid. Normal, sometimes you had to work 4 weeks to get a check. But here, you had to pay him the same day.
The same day.
Okay? So here's the God of the harvest. Saying to his steward, go call the laborers and give them their hire, give them their pay, beginning from the last until the first.
Now, I missed this, and I'm going to go back just a touch because it's necessary. This parable was really written to answer Peter's question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, Peter had, Jesus had an encounter with the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler basically said, I got too much stuff to give to the poor, follow you.
Mm-hmm.
And he went away sad. And in verse 27 of Matthew 19, it says, then Peter answered, and answered Peter said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have thereof? Or what shall we get for following you? This is Peter asking the question, and he answered for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Peter asked this question, we don't have to answer it.
Yeah.
Okay? We can get on Peter all we want, but Peter asked questions that I would ask. Okay? So Peter said, what should we get for following you? And that's what folks are doing today. They want to get something. What can we get for following you? And Jesus said unto them, verse 28 of 19, verily I say unto you, that which hath followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive at 100-fold.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yes.
He said 100. That's 10,000 times what you've given, you're going to receive. That's kingdom mathematics. Okay? 100-fold would be double for your money. You give 100, you get 200. That's 100-fold. He's saying 100-fold is 10,000 times what you give.
Yes.
Jesus is putting an astronomical figure out there because you cannot add up the blessings that you get from serving Him.
Amen.
You just can't. So he writes this letter, this parable for Peter's question. But many, verse 30, that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Yes.
Okay. So when evening was come, it payday. Verse number 9. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. They received a full day's wage for working 1 hour in the kingdom. Oh, I can see the union brothers getting mad now. No, they probably was happy now. They probably was happy now because they probably thinking, shoot, they worked an hour.
Yeah.
And we've been out here 12. Ooh. We getting ready to get paid up in here. They didn't understand God's mathematics. They think we getting ready to get paid up in here, Reverend Jones.
Yeah.
We get at least six times. We're going to get at least six pennies.
Yeah, at least.
At least.
Yeah.
If they got one for an hour, we ought to be getting at least six. That would be fair, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Double for your trouble.
Yeah.
But when the first came, here they come, verse 10. I'll be in this group.
Yeah,
but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more.
Yeah,
and you know, that's common sense, human nature.
Yeah.
Okay. But they forgot about something. They forgot about that contract they had hammered out. They forgot about that contract that they had hammered out. Now, this is interesting. They forgot about the contract they hammered out. And when they received it, verse 11. And when they received it, what? They received a 1 denarius, a full day's wage.
Yes.
They murmured against the good man of God, or the good man of the house.
Yes.
Listen.
The good man.
What was they murmuring about? That word murmuring, I mean, they started talking under their voice. Loud enough for, you know, when you murmur, you say it loud enough for the person you want to hear, but you're not saying it directly to him. Just, all of us in our share murmuring. That ain't right. That ain't right. Who do you think he is? So they murmuring. Look, listen. Then they got a little bolder. They start murmuring and start talking. Verse number 12. Saying,
These last have wrought but 1 hour. Okay? And this is really a picture of the Jew. God called the Jews first. He called the Gentiles in the 11th hour.
Yeah.
Okay? And the Pharisees have a hard time with the Jews, with the Gentiles, or God's grace toward the Gentiles. Okay? So they murmured. This is one of the strongest illustrations of that. But it's saying these last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal. Now you see their arrogance in there. Their haughtiness coming out. Oh, somebody don't know what I'm talking about. Listen. Look at James 4 and 6. We're going to get on this on Wednesday night in a little while. It says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God what? Resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The humble. So some folks are being blessed because they wouldn't know how to act. Some folks ain't in church today because they've been blessed. See, when you bless, you be on the golf course on Sunday. You be on the lake on Sunday. You know, you've been blessed with a boat. And you say, I'm fishing, I'm having church on the lake. See, you really been blessed if you can afford to go to an Indians game.
Alright.
And you can sit at an Indians game because you take one or two of your kids, cost you about $200.
Yes.
Time you eat four or five of them $4 hot dogs. Listen. Now we've covered the laborers, we covered the pay. Now they're murmuring because they got paid, said, these last have worked for 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us. And he's looking over. I can see him looking over. He got these crippled, they maimed. They couldn't do nothing. They just stood out there. They didn't do nothing. We was out here. Look what he said. We have burned the burden of the heat of the day. We was out here at 12 o'clock. It was hot. And now you bring these Johnny come lately. With 1 hour to go. See, some folks have a problem. Some folks have a problem with God's grace.
Yes.
Some folks have a problem with the dying thief on the cross. He probably had an hour to go. This might have been a reference to what Jesus was going to do on the Calvary's cross. He saved that man with an hour to go. And that, you know what? That man didn't do nothing. He wasn't baptized. He never paid a tithe. He never worked on the pastor's anniversary committee. He never stacked all them bricks. He never was out there with all the shrubbery and all the brush and all that. He had nothing to offer Jesus. He said, empty. In my hands I come. However it goes. Nothing in my hands I bring. There you go. There you go. Simply to the cross I come. He had nothing to offer God. And God welcomed the man. God welcomed the man to come on into my paradise. Into my paradise. So they was wigging out. They was having a problem with this man, with these lame folks coming into the kingdom. Let's move on. Look at verse number 11. I was on 11, wasn't I? Okay. They mocking God. They murdering against God. Saying verse 12. These last have wrought but 1 hour. But he answered. Here's God's outrageous grace. But he answered, one of them, probably the union president. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not thou agree with me for one penny? Mm-hmm. One denarius, one day's work, more than you deserve. And he says, take that thine is, and go thy way, I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Basically what he's saying, you know what? I can do whatever I want to do.
That's right.
I'm God. I could give these last ones the whole vineyard if I wanted to, because it's all mine. I own a cattle on a thousand hills. I can do whatever I want to do. And they didn't understand that. And a lot of us still today, we don't understand God's grace. God can do what He wants to do. And some of us, we need God's grace.
Amen.
We got loved ones that are without Christ.
Amen.
And we need God's grace. And we need to keep going to God all the way up until the 11th hour. Because some of our loved ones won't even be saved on our side.
Amen.
Some of our loved ones may be saved at our funerals.
Amen.
We don't know. But God is the God of the 11th hour.
Yes.
He's the God of the 11th hour. She says in verse 15, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own?" What's he saying? I own it all.
Yes.
And I can do what I want to do. There was a song out years ago. He said, "It's my party. You do whatever you want to do." He said, "It's my party. Look, is thy eye evil?" Anybody ever gave you the evil eye?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is, the evil eye. You know where the evil eye comes from? Envy.
Right.
Jealousy.
Yeah. Right.
That's what the evil eye is. Some of us, we heard that guy won the Powerball. Ooh. That bothered us a little bit. For those who played it. You hear somebody hit a lick or get a break, and why not me? And I've been there. Somebody get promoted. You done work hard, come to work every day. You got perfect attendance. Do your job, and then somebody get promoted that don't do nothing.
Amen.
And you be sitting there like, only thing they got promoted because they go out and drink with the boss.
All right.
And that happens. And then when you see them, you give them the evil eye. Y'all know that's true.
Amen.
Y'all done gave somebody the evil eye. But verse 16, as we get ready to close, it says, So the last shall be first. In God's economy. See, God's ways aren't like our ways. Okay? And the last shall be first. And they go back to the thief on the cross because he was last. He was the last person on this side that God saved. He was the last one that He saved. And you know what he was? He was the first one to go in heaven. He said, today, you'll be in heaven with me. Ain't that something? And you know what the people in the crowd say? Oh, you know, they were just upset about him saving that man on the cross. But he said, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. You know, the gospel call has gone out into all the world. Everybody has heard the call. And when you hear it, it's like when you call your children. You call your children. They're somewhere where they ought not be. They're doing some stuff they ought not be doing. And you call them, and they ignore you.
Amen.
And they ignore you. Until you have to go get them. Until you have to go get them. God is calling today.
Yes, He is.
He's calling today. And He's saying, do you hear me? Are you listening? Do you have ears to hear? And I just know somebody today needs to hear the call. Not only hear it, but you're hearing it, but answer it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to serve you. I want to go out into your field. I'm tired of hearing all the craziness on the TV and in the radio and the newspaper, and the church is idle. The church is idle. The church is idle. Don't wait to serve God.
Right.
Don't wait to serve God. Don't wait till the 11th hour. God is good. God is gracious.
Mercy endures
forever. That's right. His mercy endures forever.
Jesus.
Is He calling you today? If you answer the call, what side of the parable do you find yourself on today? Are you a laborer? Or are you mocking God for His grace? Are you working? Have you told somebody this week about Jesus Christ? As we learn this morning, do you have a personal relationship with Him? If you have a personal relationship with it, you can't help but tell somebody about it. That's all you really want to talk about. And I love talking about the Browns. I love talking about sports. And I love talking about different things. We talk about fishing. But sooner or later, the conversation has to get to my Savior. The conversation has to get around to my Lord.
Amen.
Wesley used to say, every time I looked at a person, the first thing I saw was heaven or hell. The first question I would ask, is this person going to heaven or hell? When you talk to them. What side of the parable are you on this morning? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for your word. Thank you for the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Thank you for God's outrageous grace. Thank you for being a God, Father God, that's not like man. Thank you, Father God, that we don't have to work for what you freely give. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for calling us, Father God. Thank you for being relentless in calling us not once but twice. All the way up into the 11th hour, Father God, you came looking for us. And Father, we don't have to be 80 or 90 years old to be in the 11th hour.
Amen.
There was a 20-year-old boy just last week, Father God. He was 20 years old. And he was in the 11th hour of his life. Father God, don't let anyone be deceived. Someone right now today could be in the 11th hour. This could be the last message they will ever hear. So your word said, Father God, let them not harden their hearts when they hear your voice. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the people having ears to hear. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, dying on Calvary's cross. Thank you for this communion we're going to have today just to continue to remember him. Thank you for our visitors. Thank you for our friends that have returned. Thank you for wayward members, Father God, who right now are wondering and thinking, maybe I should be in church today.
Amen.
Thank you for those that are here. Again, most of all, thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. 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 The doors of the church are open.